All right. Well, welcome, everybody. Beautiful day here at the Jersey Shore. And, well, if you're on this call or if you're listening to this recorded call, you're in the right spot. So a quick review. You know, we had two calls already. This is call number three. We're actually starting with habit number one today. Be proactive. I'm sure everyone knows that. If you were looking and listening to your email about the seven habits call. But as you know, we talked the first couple of weeks about habits, about mentorship, about leadership, maybe using this course theme, becoming a better version of ourselves, and using that as a format for us to teach in the future. Anybody here can be a mentor, as we said. But we're all trying to get a little bit better. We had a homework assignment. Sometimes we have to push ourselves, as you recall, just what we're going to memorize. And I would say probably 30% of us did pick the seven habits to memorize, which is pretty cool.
Rich?
Saw some very personal things to memorize in families, which is awesome. Saw plenty of scripture out there that was meaningful. Probably one of the most unique ones, memorizing phone numbers. So, and you think about that, pretty practical. Came in handy for me the other day when I left my cell phone somewhere. And, you know, you can't really call your wife unless you know her number. But, you know, some of that's practical. Some of it's just using our brains to memorize stuff. And so we said, okay, we might single somebody out, cause a little fear. But just as a volunteer, who would want to share if they memorize their assignment? And so I do have a volunteer here in our conference room live from Manasquan, New Jersey. And Amy's going to tell us the seven habits.
Okay. One, be proactive.
Be proactive.
Two, begin with the end in mind.
Begin with the end in mind.
Three, put first things first.
First things first.
Four, think win-win.
Win-win.
Five, seek to understand, then be understood.
Seek first to understand, then be understood.
Six, synergize.
Synergize.
Seven, sharpen the saw.
Sharpen the saw. She is our lucky winner.
Yeah. Very good, Amy.
And that will get you a $25 Mike's Bucks card.
Oh.
So sometimes the challenge does pay off, and it would have been 50 if you could have sang it. But,
you wouldn't want that.
So as we get started today, you know, we are starting the habits, and the Stephen Covey habits for sure. Probably, as we know, the most famous of all the habits you're going to find anywhere. If you did listen to the song, it has special meaning for me because my own daughter, my oldest daughter, is a teacher, second grade teacher in inner city, and she teaches the habits there for the kids. They have a special program. And I walked in that class one day and could not believe when I asked her if they could if they knew the habits, and they all gathered around and started singing them, and it was true. And so that's just another way to learn, as we're saying, why we like to memorize stuff. So let's talk about Covey's be proactive. Of all the habits, I'm pretty convinced it's probably the easiest habit for us to know. What are we saying? Be proactive. Plan ahead. What Covey says, it's actually the habit of personal responsibility, the habit of choice. And we love talking about responsibility. If you are on the group me, I sent out just a quick little picture of what responsibility might look like. I love sending pictures. Just get that snapshot. A picture is worth a few words, they say. But when we look at that phase two training course, we throw the football around quite a bit, and it's our metaphor really for responsibility. And you think about, you know, when you have the ball, you're responsible. And there's so many little euphemisms we talk about the ball, and you can't fumble the ball, and you got to carry the ball and get the ball over the line. But what we say is the ball is our responsibility. And for me as a running back, it was my job to score the touchdown, not to fumble. You are not allowed to fumble. At home, I'm carrying a little baby. I am not allowed to drop that baby. At home, family, this applies to wherever we're at. We have to be responsible for who is that football? Is it our family? Is it our crew? Is it your teammates? Who is it? Co-workers. So we do talk about this, and right off the bat, I'm going to give you what
I'm going to give you.
A little reverbage.
Yeah.
I think what I'm going to give you is my favorite quote from Aristotle. Choice, not chance, determines destiny. That is our quote of the week. Choice, not chance, determines destiny. And this is the habit of choice. We're going to choose, really, as we say, to be reactive or proactive. We love teaching this in the stores, too, because we say, how do you plan ahead in the stores? You already know what your problem is going to be. Most people on this call know about Jersey Mike's, have worked behind the counter, have been involved. You know what the problems are going to be. We know that there's going to be people showing up late. What is your policy? If you don't have a policy for that, we already know we have trouble. That's being proactive, writing the policy. What happens if we don't have a uniform, the correct uniform, dirty uniform? What's the policy? And we don't tell you what to do. We just say, have a policy. I've seen people say, hey, you don't come in with a clean face, go home and shave. Okay, well, that's not exactly what I would call heart of a coach, heart of a teacher, but, you know, maybe you have a razor there. Maybe you have an extra hat, extra apron, as we say. I've had one franchisee tell me, well, we can give them if we need it, but we don't give them the shaving cream. That's hard line. But when we get serious about looking at this paradigm for be proactive, you have the common responses, just like we say, you know, things that in our mind, well, the common way to answer things is, that's just the way they are. I can't change them. There's not much I can do. And this comes from moods, comes from feelings. It's the, the victim language, as we say, self-defeating behaviors. Whereas if you want to be proactive and effective, knowing you're going to make your choice, you're free to choose. And I always say, you know, we're free to choose our own happiness. You choose, as Aristotle said many years ago. Choice, not chance, determines your destiny. So sometimes we look at that reactive behavior. I think of driving down the road, down the highway. I struggled with this for years. What happens when somebody cuts you off? Just an example. We know that's going to happen. We all drive, and we know you're going to react somehow. Well, how about we apply this proactive habit, and that's all it is a habit. Instead of getting angry, instead of eliciting that reactive behavior and negative type behavior that we already know, we have a preference, as we say, how we're going to choose. Initially, I want to shoot that guy. I want to do something negative, but I'm going to take a deep breath, and then I'm going to plug in the choice I already have. I'm going to smile, and I'm going to make sure it's not going to mess my day up. And in the deeper sense, we're not going to mess anybody else up. I'm not going to give them the finger. I'm not going to do stupid stuff, as we say, non-learners would do. So reactive guys and girls, we say, they're generally complainers, blame others, that victim attitude, as we say, being proactive, you're choosing to be calm. And that's the kind of mentor I'm generally looking for. And generally, if I don't get my advice from somebody calm, I'm going to get turned off. But calm people usually take responsibility. We say we think before we act. We give solutions. There's not a leadership podcast you can pick up where somebody says, and I just heard one yesterday with John Gordon, well, if you're going to complain, you better give me 3 solutions. Yeah, that's what we want to think about. And these are the type of leaders. If I'm a leader, I want that guy on my team. If I'm a leader, I want the guy on my team that has the proactive language. And so here's a few phrases I jotted down just on proactive language. My favorite, and I do have a poster that I'm going to share, but I've really trademarked this one. It's from 1976. Can't, never could. Success comes in can. Now, that became one of my coaching mantras that some people don't want to hear anymore. Probably did overuse it in my 40 years of coaching, but what we say is can't, never could. We know that's just bad language. That's not proactive language. Hey, it's not my fault. It's not my fault versus I'm sorry. It's probably 2 of the most powerful words you can use as a leader, as a parent, as a teacher. I'm sorry. It actually puts us back on the same level. keeps us humble. I write of a quick story in the book that was published last year. I was coaching. I'm coaching against Jerry Rice, and some of you on the line probably know that name. Today, he's the greatest wide receiver ever to play in the NFL. Well, in college, he was pretty good too. And I'm coaching against him. I'm the defensive coordinator. He is the wide receiver. He's averaging 1,000 million. Crazy. But right before halftime, they're driving. I'm the defensive coordinator, and the coach, the head coach, says, "I want to blitz. Coach Hurtling, I want to blitz." And I did not do it because I knew if I blitzed, he might get open one-on-one coverage. And so I didn't do it, and he yelled at me. And the third time, he said, "Listen, if you still want to work for me, you're going to call a blitz." And I called the blitz, and lo and behold, you know the story. Jerry Rice catches a touchdown pass with 10 seconds to go in the half. And by the time I got to that locker room, I already owed $180 for breaking the headset, for kicking in a couple, you know, it was in my immature years as a young coach. But what I did learn and took away from that and still have applied today is that coach found me in that locker room, looked at me, said, "Coach Hurtling, I'm sorry. And I need you. I need you to get your wits back about you." And that's what he did. And he just totally diffused me. I think when we say I'm sorry to somebody, and especially if it's timely and it's heartfelt, I think it has a lot of power. And that is what we call proactive language. I don't have any other choices? Not. I'm going to look for all my options. Proactive. I think that probably one of my favorite is they won't let me do it versus I'll get this done. I want people on my team that when I ask them to do something, they're not going to say I can't do it. They're going to say, "I'll get it done." And maybe they're not going to get it done, but they'll find somebody else to help them get it done. Asking for help, you get the idea. And I always love to say this one, nothing we can do versus there must be something we can do. And we say we must be something, that leads to hope. And that's one of those words, when we're talking about leadership, that's a virtue. Literally, faith, hope, and love go together, as we say. Also otherwise known as the three divine sisters, faith, hope, and love. But without hope, most people aren't going to follow. So that's just one of those words that we love to use. I'm going to look at Covey, and one of the things he talks about is he has identified four unique human gifts. And I think he's pretty accurate, these gifts. And here they are, if you're taking notes. Self-awareness. I think most of us understand what self-awareness is, how we fit, how we think of ourselves, how we examine our thoughts, you know, how we act. Imagination, which is kind of a wacky one, but it's going to apply a little bit more towards next week's habit number two. The conscience, which I think most of us know what that is, right versus wrong. Generally, we're going to make decisions based on what is right. Not all of us have that capability. And there's people on your team right now probably that really don't even understand right and wrong in certain avenues. And then one that I think is pretty unusual that Covey identifies is the independent will. And how do we act by ourselves, how do we take responsibility by ourselves when other external influences do approach? And I always like to call that the in-kind. How am I going to return in-kind? If somebody shows me hate, am I going to show them hate?
Yeah.
Somebody shows me an unkindness, I'm going to show them a kindness. You know, it's that yin-yang, it's the opposite. But it's a habit you have to train. And it is one of those things because it's human nature. If somebody comes after you, you're going to come after him. You're going to fight him back. And especially in sports, that's what we learn. Most of our childhood, we learn to, you know, if I'm attacked, I'm going to attack back. But that's not really what servant leadership is. So I'm looking at my watch. I'm going to start talking about our homework for this week. Now, you can understand our homework's going to kind of add up. It's going to get a little tougher. And this one is going to it's going to cause you a little reflection. You're going to have to take a little bit of a time on it, but I want you to take a one-pager. On top of that page, you're gonna write my legacy. And you've heard this before. What do you want your legacy to be? Well, if I'm going to be proactive, it's a pretty good time to start examining my future. And so I want you to identify maybe 5 to 7 roles that you're playing right now. For example, myself, husband, I'm a dad, brother, coach, teacher, friend, teammate. And when we identify 5 or 7 of those traits, so to speak, roles, what would you put a word that goes with those? So if I'm a husband, I want to say I'm a loving husband. If I'm a brother, first thing that comes to mind is trustworthy. Am I a friend? Loyal. But then, the actual assignment is you're going to identify and you're going to visualize your 80th birthday. Now, for some of us, it's a little closer than others, but that 80th birthday, and who do you want to see? Who are the key people at your 80th birthday celebration? And here's the kicker. I want you to write down what you would like them to say about you. Oh, boy. Now, this is, what kind of an impact do you want to have on their lives? And it's going to be awkward at first. I've done this a few times. It comes out different. But for our first shot, it's going to help us out to understand even what our next habit's going to be next week. So if you're unclear about this, it is a tough one to do on a podcast here, but you can always call me at any time, and I can help walk you through that. I think you won't have too much of a problem with it. But I can remember, too, that when we say, what do you want your legacy to be? I used Mike Spiegel, one of our friends at one time, say that he, after 35 years of coaching and teaching, we actually used one of the actuaries here in our accounting department. How many people do you think he influenced? And when I ask this question to a crowd, they'll say, 1,000. Somebody will say 10,000. The actual number is closer to 60,000 people. So we talked about the Admiral McCraven there in the beginning. One voice, one person. Nobody wants on their deathbed to say, I wished I worked a little longer. I wished I worked a little more. That's not really what life is all about. So that's a part of it. So you have a homework assignment. You got a quote. Have it, number one, not too hard. Be proactive. We're planning ahead. And you ask yourself many times, how am I going to do that? So next week, we have habit number two. And that is Mike Manzo's favorite habit. And I want to throw a shout out. I know Bridget, who is on our staff, could not come today. And she has no idea that she was actually exhibiting habit number three, first things first. So she was on a special assignment, couldn't get away, but that's really when we say that's responsibility. Work first, play next. All right. That's all for today. Hope everybody has a great weekend. Ta-ta for now.
Thanks. Thank you.